presentation of Learfield IMG College. Welcome to Commodore Hour with Joe Fisher. Over the next 60 minutes, we'll break down the latest in Vanderbilt athletics and hear from players, coaches, and administrators. Commodore Hour is brought to you by Ascend Federal Credit Union, the exclusive credit union of Vanderbilt athletics, and by the Middle Tennessee Ford dealers. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Commodores, Joe Fisher.
Well, a lot of us wondered if we would get to this point, game week, but we are finally here, and there will be football this weekend as the Vanderbilt Commodores will open the Southeastern Conference season. That's all it is, all SEC games. The Commodores will travel to College Station, Texas on Saturday to take on the Aggies of Texas A&M. That is a 6:30 Central Time kickoff from Kyle Field in College Station. I'm Joe Fisher. Great to be with you for the Commodore Hour. Looking forward to visiting with Commodore Head Football Coach Derek Mason here coming up in just a few moments. And then at the bottom of the hour, the second half hour, we're going to be joined by Kyle Schirmer, former Commodore quarterback, record-setting quarterback, all-time leading passer in Vanderbilt history. He is working with this Commodore team as a volunteer coach and still has hopes of playing at the next level. We'll have an opportunity to visit with Kyle, reminisce a little bit, talk about what he's doing, and certainly reflect on some great performances in his time at Vanderbilt as well. So certainly looking forward to all of that coming up here. Vanderbilt football this season will be brought to you in part by the Tennessee Lottery. Tennessee Education Lottery, proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion to support education programs in Tennessee. We will take a break. Coach Derek Mason joins us right after this. We are so glad you're with us for the Commodore Hour here on 102.5 The Game. As I'm Joe Fisher, glad to be with you and glad to be joined as always by Vanderbilt head football coach Derek Mason as we get set to travel to Texas A&M on Saturday night to take on the Aggies in College Station. And coach, I got to be honest with you first. I wasn't sure we'd get to this week. You know, I didn't know a month, 2 months ago whether or not we'd have the opportunity to be at this point. It feels pretty good to be in game week, doesn't it?
It does, Joe. I look where we're at now, and it's a far cry from where we were, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago. And listen, it takes patience. This process, man, hasn't been without, you know, bumps in the road. But you know, now we're here, and this is the fun part. And our guys have earned the right, to line up versus Texas A&M September 26th. You know, game week is here, and we're excited about it. These guys, you know, are locked in on Texas A&M, and we've sort of done some preliminary prep work. But now, as we hit the grass, we're getting ready to hit the grass tomorrow morning, we know, man, that we're in full swing.
There are a lot of people that are responsible for us being at this point, aren't there? I mean, this was not something that was done easily. I mean, you talk about medical people, training people, your staff, your coaches, all those people. This was not an easy thing to accomplish just to get to this point, was it?
It was not. I've got to say thank you to, you know, everybody, you know, from our administration to our athletic administration, to doctors, to, you know, support staff, resource, personnel, academic support. It's been a long journey. But, you know, Vanderbilt, you know, has been, you know, extremely diligent. And they've had a great plan that we've been able to execute pretty much at a high level, you know, throughout this process. And now we're right on the cusp of the 2020 season, one that, you know, a lot of people thought would never get here, but here we are.
I'm curious, Derek, have you, I know back early on in the season, all the coaches and all the administrators were all kind of talking about how you were going to make this happen, how you were going to get to this point. But as you have gone through all this, and now you're, you know, going through practice and going through all this, getting to game week, have you kind of talked to some of your other brethren, if you will, in the conference or around the country about dealing with this and getting to this point?
You know, all of us around the country, whether it's in conference or, you know, outside the conference, you know, from you know, Group of Five and you know, 1AA or Olden, you know, FBS schools. We were just all talking about, you know, what it took to get here. I mean, we had to share information across the board about, you know, I mean, how to deal with our young people's questions about, you know, I mean, medical, you know, information to, you know, I mean, how we were looking to deal with mental health and talk about, you know, I mean, wellness, you know, I mean, support things that we could put in place. I think it was a shared community when you talked about, you know, I mean, what this offseason presented. I think nobody had, you know, an exact playbook. We were all, you know, looking to learn from each other and really share the information because, you know what, we all serve the same population.
We're talking with Capitol head football coach Derek Mason. Vanderbilt will take on Texas A&M on Saturday in College Station. Derek, last week I had a chance to visit with Darren Ambrose, who's a good friend of yours, you know, the head coach of the Capitol women's soccer team. They had a wonderful come-from-behind win in Game 1 this past weekend over Kentucky, winning by a score of 3-2. He told me that, you know, we were kind of talking about expectations coming into the season. He said, you know what? He said, I think as a coach, I have to kind of throttle back, and I'm not sure I can really have expectations. I mean, he said his expectations were to get better every day and just let that take care of itself. Have you thought about that? I mean, every coach walks into a season with expectations, but with everything you've gone through right now, is it hard to kind of put to quantify and say, this is what I expect to happen?
Well, me and Darren have had these talks, and really, I think it is about, you know, getting better. I think it is about competing. You know, in order to compete, man, you got to have good players. And, you know, in order to have good players, they've got to show up with you know, a certain mindset. They've got to exhaust the opportunity that day to get better. And in doing so, you can find growth in that. And I tell my team all the time, especially in 2020, you know, mistakes are information. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. Just don't make the same mistake twice. And you know, in this year in particular, I just want to make sure, man, that I can, you know, grow, encourage, challenge, and you know, help these young men compete at this level. It's been without you know, any smooth sailing without this. Through this process, we've had to, you know, fight, grind, and even you know, explain again and again, you know, exactly, you know, what our process and plan is. And when you have to, you know, do that, it just means that, you know, I mean, young people are just trying to find their way. So I definitely expect this group to get better every day. They know that's the standard. They understand what my expectations are, but hopefully my expectations aren't higher than theirs. And that's what I'm looking forward to as we get ready for a Tuesday practice.
I sat through practice on Saturday, Derek, in the stadium on a gorgeous day, and I've been through this now for 23 years, so I remember this and go through this every year, but a lot of us kind of take it for granted, but you literally have to walk your team through what your game day is going to be like. I mean, I saw you go through this. I mean, this is your pregame warm-up. This is where you'll go. This is what you'll do. This is halftime. This is how you'll do this. I think a lot of us kind of take that for granted, but that's maybe a small element to some people, but that's one more thing that's just got to go right in the grand process of your game day.
Well, that's what it is. Again, you're going to a venue where really nobody in our program other than probably Tom Bosson, you know, I mean, has been to Texas A&M. In looking at that, we want to make sure, I mean, that guys know exactly what our plan is. Where do we go? What end zone are we working out of? You know, where will we stretch? You know, for us, where will our pregame you know, spots on the field be, so that guys aren't confused? You know, as we get towards the end of the week, and believe me, we're going to dress rehearse it, you know, I mean, two or three times, you know, I mean, before we actually, you know, I mean, get to Texas A&M. Again, every day we go out to practice this week, it's about stretch lines. What do they look like? You know, I mean, just sort of cleaning things up. And again, that makes guys, you know, confident, you know, in where they're at, what we're doing. Again, that there is a plan, you know, for us in the process by which, man, we need to execute as we head into College Station.
You've had both kinds of teams, Derek. You've had teams filled with veterans at key spots. you've had teams like this one that have a lot of new faces, a lot of young faces in a lot of places. Is it easier or harder to go through all of that development and all of that teaching and all of that, even those little things like game day? Is it easier or harder when you have youngsters or when you have veterans?
It's definitely easier when you have veterans, but I'll give this group credit. You know, I mean, they've been locked in. We have a steady group. Again, they understand that, you know, this has been different, okay, from the beginning, okay, to where we are now. I told this group not to take anything for granted. And, you know, to their credit, you know, I mean, the young guys have followed the older guys. You know, they bought into, you know, what we need to do. Okay, and you know, asking an older guy for help, or if they don't know, they ask, and that's the sign of a mature young group. Young players like that have come through this program and done well, but this freshman group of the class, I think, are locked in, and it has everything to do with, you know, the opportunity to play in 2020. You know, more than any other year in college football, you know, young people have opportunity or see opportunity to find themselves playing on Saturday. And so with that, it's sort of easier to keep them locked into, you know, where you're at, what you're doing.
I know, before we go to our first break here, I heard Ted Roof talking the other day, and he was talking about his defense, and he said, you know what, I'm not going to wear out our older guys. I'm going to play a bunch of younger guys. I'm going to plug guys in and get them into the rotation and try to keep guys fresh and rely on the younger guys as well as the older guys. How much of that is based on his philosophy, if you will, and how much it is based on the fact that you've got young guys that you really have a lot of confidence in?
Joe, as I look at it, I mean, it's the combination of both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I look at, you know, where we sit, I do believe that he's got confidence in where we sit with some of these young guys. Some of the young guys are going to be thrown in because of depth. I mean, they've earned their way up the depth chart. They've competed, you know, I mean, throughout camp. And this is just that year where, you know, I mean, when you look at it, it's going to have to be about depth. We saw this past weekend, even when you look at the NFL, you know, I mean, the number of guys being played, you know, injuries earlier in the season. I think, again, it sort of led to a mindset, even when we came in, like in the spring and only had four practices, that we were going to need to lean towards getting young guys ready to play. And so that's been his mindset. And I think when you go into it with that mindset, you get these young guys confidence, but you also, you know, get older guys' attention as to, look, we understand where you're at, but this thing is not just about being a veteran. It's about being able to compete, produce, make sure, man, that you've got, you know, good depth behind you. And in doing so, okay, it gives you an opportunity to rest, be healthy, but understand that there will be a smaller drop-off because these guys have been preparing for a while.
Well, this week in the NFL had to get your attention. My goodness, so many. Oh, my goodness. I mean, you lose those kind of talented players. I mean, like one play, everything changes, doesn't it?
It does. And that's where, you know, I think you know, I mean, college football has probably got a bigger grasp on, like, what's happening. I think in the league, you know, it's a little different. You know, it's all about your runs. You really don't have time to develop your tools, and that's not really your thought process. Plus, man, you got a limited roster. Like, for us, we're going to be able to travel 70 to Texas A&M. And so, you know, I mean, guys are vying for some of those spots. They're trying to, you know, dive into those special teams roles. So that they can be, you know, in the two deep or three deep on defense and find themselves, you know, playing in the ball game and trying to make an impact.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back, continue with Coach Derek Mason. I got a couple of questions that were sent to me on Twitter, Coach. I'm going to run by you as well. We'll talk a little bit about Texas A&M. All of that and more coming up on the Commodore Wrap. And we welcome you back to the Commodore Hour here on 102.5 The Game. Joe Fisher with you, joined by Commodore head football coach Derek Mason. Gupton Jeep, your Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram headquarters. Been serving Middle Tennessee for over 59 years. They will have our keys to the game feature coming up for this season. And one of the keys to this game, traveling down to College Station, is dealing with quarterback Kellen Mond. And so, Derek, let's talk about him. And this is a guy, there are two guys in the history of Texas A&M that have thrown for 7,000 yards and rushed for 1,000. Kellen Mond is one. Johnny Football is the other. So this is a guy I know you got to pay attention to, don't you?
Yes, he is a talented quarterback. When you talk about his ability to run and extend plays, he's been doing that since he stepped on campus at Texas A&M, where he's improved and extremely accurate and lethal is in the pass game. You know, every year, man, he's gotten better. I went back to look at his sophomore year, up till now, throughout the summer and as we've gotten into our latest scouting report information, and he's definitely improved. He understands how to work the hashes. He truly can throw the deep ball. He's got a strong arm. I've seen him throw the field out. And more than anything else, he knows how to operate the offense now. I think Jimbo feels good about where he is and letting him truly run this offense. So what we're talking about is a quarterback who's experienced and really grown into in the offense there at Texas A&M.
How do you deal with a guy like this, Derek? A guy that'll tuck it and run, sometimes designed, but a lot of times he'll just scramble and make something happen on his own. What kind of pressure does that put on your defense to kind of keep an eye on this guy?
Well, seeing quarterbacks, like him before, you really got to make sure that you can, contain the pocket. And what I mean by that is setting edges and making sure as you pass rush, your pass rush lanes are equal. A lot of times you'll see pass rush, lanes where, three guys to the side and one guy by himself. That's a quarterback's dream. He does a good job of seeing, one high, two high coverage. If he sees, two high coverage, he'll take off and run. They'll run him on some speed option. He runs the zone read triple. But again, don't lose sight of him getting under center and being able to work off play action pass or the run game for play action shots. So I think for him, we just got to make sure that we can hold those edges and make sure that we push the pocket. And when we do have an opportunity to get the third down, we got to spy the quarterback.
It's interesting. A couple of questions from Twitter. One of them, and this is one that fascinates me because. Over the years, uniforms have become a big deal. People are focused on what combination are you wearing, and players love them too, as you well know. I had one of our fans ask about the uniform combinations, how they're decided, and then when will you announce them and how you announce them, because they're looking like, are you going to do it on Twitter? Are you going to do it on Facebook? Where are you going to do it? Because they want to know what you're going to wear before the game even gets here.
Yeah, I get it, I guess that's the excitement of social media and college football nowadays. But we've got a social media team here, led by Erica Duane in our department, and working with really Alan George and his group down there in communication. So we should have something coming out midweek. It's always funny to see, our guys. Talk about the uniforms, and generally what we do is we try to put it to a captain's vote. It's a player's game. Look good, play good. We give them some opportunity, but hopefully sometime this season we'll take it to a fan vote and make sure that we can get our fans in on it and see what they like in terms of combination.
It's funny. I had to laugh when you said that because my son played high school football here in Nashville, and his whole thing was, hey, look good, feel good, play good. Yeah, they love that.
Absolutely. They do.
It's been interesting to follow this team, and there's so much talk about the offensive side of the ball and all the new faces, but let's talk about the defensive side of the ball because you got a lot of familiar faces over there. You've got a couple of guys that have gotten some preseason notoriety from the coaches. In terms of Odangbo and Moore and Andre Mintz. It appears you have some veteran leaders on what appears to be a pretty deep defensive side of the ball.
You know, we talked about it this year. I'm excited for those guys and the preseason individual accolades, but this is a group, man, that really has to understand, and I believe they know, you know, right now that this is not about, you know, individual, you know, an achievement, man. It's about, you know, what we can do together. You know, it's big team, little me, and nobody's really talking about this team, and that's what we want. We want to be in that place. We want to make sure, man, that we exhaust every opportunity we can to get better. Okay, I believe that there's some good players on this team, and these guys are going to show, but they can't show by themselves. They need the guys around them to play big, play well, be ready when their number is called, and that's really what we're focused on right now. I mean, this group is hyper focused on, you know, being where our feet are right now. You know, it's our first game. We're on the road versus Texas A&M in the SEC, 1-10. Man, you can't ask for more than that. So, you know, let's lock in and you know, let the big dogs hunt and let the little dogs follow.
I know you have to be prepared to win any kind of game, you know, the way it plays out. Who knows, high scoring, low scoring, or whatever. But if you had your preference, and if this game could go the way you mapped it out, how would this game go on Saturday, you know, for you to win? What kind of game would it be?
Well, you know, it takes us, it's going to take us doing, like, the little things, you know, correct or right. Football it's going to have some mistakes to it. I mean, it's not a perfect game. These guys need to go out, man. We need to make sure that we secure the ball. We play well on special teams. And we understand that we can, you know, man, win the field position battle. That's going to be important. How do we manage the clock offensively? Can we stay out of, you know, man, penalties early and down? Okay, man, and make sure, man, that we can create momentum, like to be able to stay on the field and be able to get some early offense. So that we can, you know, establish ourselves, and then you know, defensively, we're gonna have to make, you know, Texas A&M go the long way to get it. We know they've got talented players, they've got a talented quarterback, they've got an experienced, you know, offensive line. We're gonna have to play, you know, team football. It's got to be about tackling. It's got to be about hitting. It's got to be about blocking. It's got to be about attacking the ball.
I know you've not talked about this with your guys, Derek, but, I mean, you're going down to College Station where you would normally be walking into 100,000 people. You know, all the Aggies and everything and all the pomp and circumstance that goes along with a game at Texas A&M, you're not going to run into nearly what you would run into under normal circumstances. I know you don't talk to the team about it, but I've got to believe you feel like that's a little bit of an advantage that you're not facing the big home field advantage they normally have.
Yeah, I really try to, much like you said, just really, you know, focus on, like, the game itself. We're going to have to create crowd noise. And I was watching Seattle and New England play, and what I know about that stadium is that they were pumping noise in. So I wouldn't be surprised, you know, Texas A&M does have crowd noise along, you know, with their fans. And so with that's just an extra, you know, layer of information, you know, man, for me and my staff to get our guys ready. We'll be playing the Texas A&M, you know, fight song out here in practice. We'll have crowd noise, you know, going so that our guys aren't surprised if there is more crowd noise than what they expected. Because there's a difference between having, you know, 5,000 fans and 25,000 fans. You know, that stadium is enclosed. You know, the noise can echo. So we've got to expect that there's going to be some noise in that stadium. The 12th man is always going to stand up. So what we have to do is prepare and just let our kids, our student-athletes focus on, you know, been playing the game and communicate.
One final question, Derek, and I got this question from Twitter, and a fan, a longtime fan, very ardent fan, who just says, what do you say to a fan that's not 100% bought in right now? You know, what do you say to that fan that's kind of on the fence and saying, I don't know if I want to buy into this or not? What do you say to them?
I mean, if you're Vanderbilt, then you buy in. This is all about, you know, Star V. This is about, understanding that, you know, we are Vanderbilt. You know, man, we stand on this rock here on West End. We fight as dynamite, you know, through and through. And, you know, man, we're definitely excited to represent Vanderbilt University in 2020. These young men are capable of doing great things, but they need your support. They know and understand that, you know, like these are like different times and circumstances, but, you know, we're all family, and if we're all family, let's stand together. Let's make sure that we move as one. We understand, good, bad, or indifferent, that, you know, we're all trying to get to a place where we can be proud of exactly who we are and what we do.
Well, Derek, good luck on Saturday. I won't be with you in College Station. We'll be doing the game remotely here from a studio in Nashville, so we'll be watching like everybody else, but good luck. Looking forward to it.
I'll hit you, man, hopefully right after the game, Joe, man, we'll get a chance to talk.
That sounds good. Thank you, Derek. Appreciate it very much.
That's
Commodore head coach Derek Mason, joins us every Monday night here on the Commodore Hour. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Former Commodore quarterback Kyle Schirmer, all-time leading passer in Vanderbilt history, is going to join us. We're going to reminisce a little bit. He's a volunteer. He's helping out with the team right now, and so we'll talk about what he's doing. He also still has some designs on playing at the next level. We'll talk about all that coming up right after this. And welcome back to the Commodore Hour here on 102.5. I'm Joe Fisher. Glad to be with you as we're talking Vanderbilt football and other things as well. Certainly a congratulations in order just down the road. Nashville Predators defenseman, the captain Roman Josi, was named the James Norris Memorial Trophy winner for the outstanding defenseman in the National Hockey League. I think that's certainly well-deserved. You know, a lot of people wondered whether or not being in a program that's maybe not as high profile as many others, whether he would get it, even though all the stats seemed to warrant it. And certainly, I was certainly glad to see him get that opportunity and be named the best defenseman in the NHL. So congratulations to him. Time now to visit with another former Commodore quarterback, Kyle Schirmer, who is the all-time leading passer in Vanderbilt history, 8,865 yards, 64 career touchdowns. But I was walking through McGugan Center today, and it's kind of interesting because, Kyle, it's the first time I've been in the building since March, and so it was good to be back, and I ran into you in the hallway. So kind of catch everybody up on what you're doing and how you're working with this Vanderbilt program.
Yeah, it was great to see you today, Joe. This is it's always great to see you, and I'm back at Vandy right now. Currently doing the Master's in Finance program at the Olin School of Business, and I'm helping out with the coaching staff as a volunteer. I'm still staying in shape for a potential opportunity, but in case something doesn't happen, you know, I'm trying to advance, you know, get my master's degree, and help out Vandy while I'm in town.
Well, let me throw this out publicly, Kyle. You're in the best shape I've seen you in. I think you look like you're ready to go right now.
Well, that's good to hear, Joe. I appreciate that. I'm trying to stay disciplined with all my workouts and stay in the best shape possible. Stay busy. As you know, for everybody, COVID has been a time where, you know, there's everybody's routine has been thrown off, and, you know, working out, staying in shape, and now helping out with the coaching staff and the team and going to school has given me a routine. And, you know, for my mental health, it's helped a lot, and, you know, more than anything. And, I appreciate that, Joe. You know, I feel pretty buff right now, but I appreciate that.
Well, tell me what it's like to walk out on that field, and you've got, you know, quite frankly, you got four or five young guys out there that are all trying to inherit this position, all trying to work into this position, a place you've been. Just kind of talk about being a mentor in that case, and just what it is you're trying to impart to these young players.
Yeah. You know, every one of those guys, they have a unique skill set, and they really have come to work. You know, this COVID year, so to say, has been, there's been a lot of adjustments. There's been a lot of, you know, different things that have been thrown at them. And, but even through all of the adjustments to the schedule, the, you know, the setbacks we've had and whatnot, they've come to work and they've come to, you know, really better themselves and, you know, help contribute to this team. And, you know, it's been really cool to see that. And, you know, in terms of helping them out, I have, a lot of experience, playing, at Vanderbilt as a quarterback, and I'm just trying to, whether it's, how do you handle yourself during the week and balancing school, how to balance, your film study, your preparation, all that. I just tried to be a resource to them as much as possible, because I was in their shoes not too long ago, and those guys have been great. It's been fun, just being around them, and it's been really cool.
I'm curious, Kyle, because you remember the offense you ran, and now you see Todd Fitch comes in with a new offense and a new set. First off, how drastically different is it than what you ran before? And just remembering, from your days, how tough is it to walk in as a first-year collegiate quarterback or a junior college transfer and have to learn a new offensive system?
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge. Anywhere you go, something new and is always, learning something new is always a challenge. And like I said, all these guys have come to work and worked really hard just to master this offense and put good days on top of good days in terms of practice and film study and walkthroughs, what have you. And so they've done a great job, learning. And, I've been able to relate to them about my experience and learning a new offense and whatnot. And the big thing is consolidating all the important information and not crippling yourself with all the information, being able to play fast while also being able to process and, internalize all the details. And they've done a great job. And in terms of Coach Fitch, he's been awesome. I've learned something new from him every day. And, his track record, as a coach, speaks for itself. He's done a tremendous job, coaching quarterbacks and running offenses. And, it's been really cool. It's been a blast.
I think, Kyle, you and I have talked about this in years past, but, for a player, and not just a quarterback, but for a player, it has to become instinct. It has to become second nature, doesn't it, where I know you're thinking about it, but it's like you're not right. Thinking, you're just doing, and that doesn't happen overnight, does it?
Right, and that just comes back to the preparation piece of it and consolidating all the details, all the information that you get during the week, during the off season, and without crippling yourself, so to say, and being able to play fast. I think that's the big thing that these guys have done. They've prepared hard, and when it comes to game day, they just got to play fast and play and go out and have some fun. And I think they're – I'm excited for these guys. I think they're going to do that. And, I'm just looking forward to seeing these guys compete. We still got some time to prepare, but I'm really excited for all these guys.
So walk us through, are you in the room? Do you sit with the quarterbacks in the room and go through that process? Are you on the practice field with them? What is your role, if you will? How do you do that?
Yeah, so... being a volunteer, there are restrictions that I have to follow. I can't coach them on the field per se, but I've been able to help contribute, behind the scenes and help the coaching staff and, draw from my experiences and just help them as much as I can. The big thing is I'm here to help in any way, shape, or form, whatever job they ask me to do. And, it looks different every day. That's the funny thing. There's different roles and different tasks I have to do every day, and it's been fun. It's been a blast.
Did you come to them and say, I'm going to come back to school and I'd like to help you if I can, or how did that all happen?
Yeah, unfortunately I got let go by the Chiefs back shortly after the draft, And with the, COVID, I was unsure if there was even going to be a season. And, and while I'm staying in shape, I'm staying in shape. I'm hoping for a new opportunity here soon. But while I was staying in shape, I feel like everybody else, everybody wants a routine, wants some structure. And, I really wanted to, go back to Vandy. I feel as if when I was at Vandy from when I stepped on campus in, 2015 to the December of 2018 when I graduated, I grew so much as a person, as a player, student, everything. And in order to come back to Vandy, or when I decided to come back to Vandy, I knew it was just going to help me, whatever road I pick, after football, whether it's, any different career path or even just as a person. I just feel like Vanderbilt's a real special place. And, I was really, I just really wanted to be back at Vandy. And, sure enough, here I am.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell you clearly loved it here when you were here and when you were playing, and I remember those years very vividly. But before we go to the break here, and I appreciate you spending a little time with us tonight, we're talking to Kyle Schirmer, all-time leading passer in Vanderbilt history. Does that sink in when somebody says that?
I'm definitely, I'm proud of, all the work we put in as a team, and all my experiences. It's funny. I'll never get those 4 years back, and there's so many experiences that I'll cherish forever. And really, the stats are stats at the end of the day. But what I really remember is all the fun times in the locker room with my teammates. After games, all the road trips, all the practices we had to work through, all the fun times with my teammates and everybody in the building. I really think about those experiences more than the numbers per se, and that's what I'd say about that.
I can bring up three pretty good experiences, and when we come back, I'm going to bring them up, and you probably know the three I'm going to bring up, right?
I have an idea.
Yeah, I think you do. That's right. We're with Kyle Schirmer, the all-time leading passer in Vanderbilt history. He is a volunteer helping out the Commodore quarterbacks as they get set for this coming season, starting on Saturday against Texas A&M. We'll take a break. Come back with more with Kyle right after. Welcome back to the Commodore Hour here on 102.5. Joe Fisher along with you, and we are visiting with former Commodore quarterback, all-time leading passer in Vanderbilt history, Kyle Schirmer. You look at his numbers. His sophomore season, 2,409 yards passing with 9 touchdowns. And then the junior year, the record-setting year, 28-23 passing and 26 touchdowns. That is a school record. Back that up with 31-30 passing his senior year and 24 touchdowns. Before we talk about a couple of games in particular, Kyle, and I don't think I've asked you this before. I think most folks know your dad is Pat Schirmer. Longtime NFL coach, a former head coach, now offensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos. What's it like? I don't want to say being a coach's kid necessarily, but there's got to be a certain impact and a certain influence having a dad that coaches at that level.
Yeah, no doubt. I've been exposed to the game secondhand, of course, since a young age. And, I always had a great appreciation for the amount of work, the coaches do first and foremost, because, my dad was getting home very late at night, during the week, during the season, nearly every day. And not only that, but being around some of the practices, just the preparation and the work that goes in during the week and the off season in order to put, the final product on the field during the games. And, that was always really cool to see growing up. And, certainly, during my, days playing, in high school, college, and then last year with the Chiefs, I was able to have a great resource in my dad, and, not only, football-wise, X's and O's, but, how to handle yourself as, as a professional, as a quarterback, as a teammate, as a leader, as a student-athlete, and, I have a great appreciation, and I really, love being a coach's kid. It's been pretty awesome.
I don't think I got to ask you this before, Kyle, but did your dad get to see you play at Vanderbilt?
Yeah, so every year he saw at least one game in person, And you know, some years it was two. I'm drawing a blank on which years it was two. But anyway, he had gotten to see a few games in person, which was is always fun because the whole family came down because you know Dad was in town, and you know it was cool. So.
Well, obviously, as I referenced, you're going to be remembered for a lot of things, but one of them that's going to go to the top of the list is the fact you beat Tennessee three times. And, you know, you got to go back, you know, a century to find another quarterback at Vanderbilt that did that. Let's go back, you know, 2016, beat Tennessee 45-34, throw for 416 yards. You had a couple of guys that had 100-yard receiving game. Sherfield had 184 in that game. What do you remember about that game?
Yeah, that year as a whole, you know, I personally hadn't played my best for a lot of the year. And that last month of the year, things were really starting to come together, and it was great to see, you know, all of us put together a complete game on offense and defense. But, you know, obviously on the offense, we focused, you know, with, you know, playing quarterback. But at the same time, I mean, it was great to see us put a complete game together, running the ball, throwing the ball, creating explosive plays, whether it's, you know, passing game, you know, running game, screen game, you know, the complete offensive football, and we complement each other in all aspects of the game. And, you know, that year was, you know, it was great to see the improvement that we had. And I think we carried it over into the next year. That was a huge win, and it was really a you know, real exciting time for our program.
Yep, got you to a bowl with that win, as a matter of fact. In 2017, you beat them 42-24. That was the game where you threw four touchdown passes. That gave you the school record of 26 touchdown passes in a season. And then you jump ahead, Kyle, to 2018, and you can argue, you know, what your best game was, but you'd be hard pressed to come up with one better than this one. You know, you beat Tennessee 38-13. You go 31 of 35 passing for 367 yards and three touchdowns. That's kind of hard to top right there.
Yeah, similar to 2016, I just really feel like our team really came together towards the end. We had flashes in all aspects of our offense where, you know, well, we were really good in a lot of areas. And that game, you know, similar to 2016, we really put a complete game together and we finished strong. And that was awesome to see. There's a lot of our you know, the seniors, it was our last game that, you know, in the Commodore Stadium. And, you know, so that was an amazing day. That was a blast for all of us. And, you know, it's always great to be the guys in orange. So that was fun.
Well, it's fun to talk to you because it's, and I just want you to finish with this, if you will. It's very clear. You seem to make it clear that you really enjoyed playing at Vanderbilt. You really enjoyed your time at Vanderbilt. It seems to me that you feel like that was a really good decision for you.
100%. I touched on it a little bit earlier. I looked at myself, you know, at the end of my time there in you know, late December of 2018, and then compared to when I first stepped foot on campus, you know, in 2015 in the summer, I just, you know, thought about how much I grew, not only as a player, but as a person, and, you know, the football, the athletics, the social aspect of it, and just being, you know, exposed to a lot and learning and being in a very challenging environment, but a very rewarding environment if you, you know, put in the work. You know, it's an experience. You know, my 4 years were an experience that I will, you know, take for the rest of my life. And really, you know, I grew as a person, and, you know, there's memories that I'll, you know, I'll never forget.
Well, one of the things I'll always remember, Kyle, finally, is, you know, you always had time for me. You know, if I wanted to talk to you after practice or whatever, that was never a problem. The people you didn't have time for were the people that showed up once a year. I remember you saying, I don't want to spend a lot of time with them.
Joe, whenever you want to talk, you know, you have my number. Just call. I'll gladly talk to you. You're the man.
Well, you're the man too, Kyle. And I tell you what, I'm so glad I ran into you today, and I'm glad we had an opportunity to spend a little time. And but just, you know, keep us posted. Looking forward to seeing how this goes, and hope school continues to go well. And keep yourself in shape, because you never know, mid-season somebody might be reaching out.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Kyle. Very much appreciate it. That's Kyle Schirmer, Commodore quarterback, and he's back volunteering and helping out with the youngsters that are learning this offense with Todd Fitch. He's a great presence to have, doing whatever he can to help out the Commodores in that regard. And some great memories and a lot of good successes in his career. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up the Commodore Hour right after this. Well, it's always a pleasure to be with you talking Vanderbilt athletics as the Commodores get set to travel to College Station, Texas on Saturday night to take on the Aggies of Texas A&M. It is a 6:30 Central Time kickoff from College Station. Our broadcast, if you're following us, will begin at 5 p.m. With the pregame show. Now, Norman Jordan, Kevin Ingram, and I, and our engineer Kirby will not be making the trip. We'll be doing it remotely. So we'll be in Nashville. The team will be in College Station, but we'll be bringing you the ball game on Saturday night. Congratulations to the Vanderbilt women's soccer team. A 3-2 come-from-behind win over Kentucky in game one here of the season. They travel to Knoxville this coming weekend to take on the Tennessee Volunteers. My thanks to Alex in the studio. Thanks to Derek Mason. Thanks to Kyle Schirmer for being with us. Had a great visit with you. Look forward to being with you next Monday for the Commodore Hour. I'm Joe Fisher, and we'll talk on Saturday as we take on A&M.
Thanks for listening to tonight's edition of Commodore Hour with Joe Fisher. Tonight's show was brought to you by Ascend Federal Credit Union, the exclusive credit union of Vanderbilt Athletics, and by the Middle Tennessee Ford Dealers. The preceding was a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Vanderbilt Sports Network.